Good morning, Open Door Baptist Church. Will you all please stand with us this morning as we open up our worship service? Standing on the promises of God. Open Door Baptist Church. We're glad to have you all here this morning. Just a little quick thing before we open up with prayer. Pastor Larry had to take off real quick because of a family emergency. His mother fell, so she needed help up. I'm not sure of any details at all. So do me one favor. Do not pull out your cell phone to start texting and calling Pastor Larry or Pastor Donna because they got stuff to do. So I'm sure that they'll tell everybody, you know, give everybody a report whenever they get back. So let's be sure to lift up Vanna and them in our prayers this morning as we open up with prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, this morning. You are a wonderful, holy God, and we can come to you this morning not only to worship you in spirit and in truth, God, but also bring to you our prayer requests, God. And, you know, pray for Pastor Larry, Donna, and Vanna this morning, God. Be with them, comfort them, and God, take care of whatever need that they have that's going on there this morning, God. I know that you'll do it. You're good and wonderful God. And Lord, I pray for this worship service, God. I pray that we'll keep our minds focused on you, our hearts focused on you. And Lord, I know that you always prepared, God, and I know that you have prepared for what's going to happen here this morning in this service, and people will be touched by you this morning, God. And I thank you and I praise you for it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, one thing we could say about God, no one can know everything there is about God. He is indescribable. Amen.
stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, yeah. All powerful, untamable, all struck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, all struck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim.
He's a wonderful, amazing God, isn't he?
Stand and lift up our hands for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him.
Valentine's Day. Did you guys tell your sweeties happy Valentine's Day? Just for all you guys that forgot, I'm sorry. I just got you in trouble. I have a calendar on my phone that always reminds me of everything. So that's my advice to you. But you know, the Bible says that worship is our way of showing love to God. You know, and this is what we want to do here this morning. We want to show God that we love him. So I picked a couple songs that's going to be kind of a throwback for a lot of people about how much we love God.
To worship you.
today. And turn on my mic. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble already. Starting off on the wrong foot. You probably noticed a lot of the confusion going on here this morning. Got a phone call that my mother fell, but she's doing okay. They're taking her to the emergency room right now. My brother and my sister's taking her to the emergency room. She may have some cracked ribs or broken ribs or something, but it could have been a whole lot worse. But she couldn't get up. She fell over a bank, and it was all snow and ice, and she couldn't get up. She couldn't stand up. So it caused her to panic. So anyways, Lord is in control of all that. I want to thank everybody, especially Steve. When I said, Steve, I need your keys to your truck, and he handed them to me and walked away. And so, and to Travis and Boots that went with my wife immediately. And pray for Travis as he as well bit the dust pretty hard in the parking lot running to my truck. And he sees he's all bandaged up back there, so pray for him. But I want to thank you all for that. Listen, just a couple little small housekeeping, or not housekeeping, but announcements I need to make. I got a note here to Open Door Baptist Church. It says, I want to thank all of you for your prayers during this time of my recovery. I am truly blessed to have you all as my family. I also want to thank those who have brought me and my family dinners while I was unable to cook. I love all of you and thank you, our Lord, for you. With love, Joe Douglas and family. So that's Joe, and if you've seen him here last week, he's doing pretty well. Also, I want to remind you about Wednesday. I've had people ask me, well, things are not looking too good. Listen, I will watch the weather. I will make the call on that early enough on Wednesday to let you all know, because I can't express to you how important it is for every single member of this church to be here for this. This is not a gun training class. This isn't something if you only come if you carry a gun. This has nothing to do about you carrying a gun. This has to do with the safety of the church and response of the church if there is something that would go down as far as an active shooter, domestic violence, some kind of community thing where there was a shutdown. It tells us what to do. It would be the same school that they would get in school, like I pointed at Heather because she's a school teacher. It would be the same thing as something they would train you to do in a school in that setting and that time. It is important for all of us to be here. It will not be on Facebook. It will not be on live. There's a couple reasons for that. One, the content that's being shared, they don't want anybody under 18 years of age to be present here in this sanctuary where that's going on, and you need to be notified there is no child care. So I know I'm putting some pretty strict stuff out there, but they don't want that, so I can't guarantee that online. Two, what the content of this is for our church, and listen, if it's out there on Facebook, then anybody can find it. They know what we're doing, so right? They don't need to know that. So I encourage you all to be here. On Wednesday, it's going to be approximately 2 hours, and it'll start at 6 o'clock. Prayer meeting will be canceled, so there will be no live prayer meeting, but it'll be at 6 o'clock. And so we ask all of you that can be here, and even some of you who are listening right now that aren't here, that if you can be here, please be here if you can possibly do it. It's that important. I can't stress it enough. So I will move on about that. But this morning, I want to do something that I feel that is important, and we started this back before COVID hit, pre-COVID, right, if we can all remember that far back, right? We started to do this, and it's an important thing, and Dawn and I want to follow through with this as a matter of importance. I would encourage every person to do this. And Richie, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come on up. And Dawn and I are going to renew our membership in this church today. And the reason we're renewing, they say, well, you're already a member. Yes, I am. Do I have to do this? No, I don't. I want to do this. The reason why is because when Dawn and I became members of this church, okay, when you were baptized, you just automatically was put on the rolls. That's how it was. You weren't asked to be a member. You just became a member. And that's okay. And I know a lot of some of us here are still that way. But we have changed membership over the years that membership matters. Membership is meaningful. And membership is like-minded. And so we want to covenant with this church in a meaningful membership that matters, that means something. And so lately, over the last few years, everybody that's joined, you know how they've joined, they agreed to covenant with the church in certain things. I think it's important that we all do that, even if you're already a member like I am, you know, and Richie will be doing the same thing here shortly as well. So I think it's important that you do that. Why? Because it makes us all matter. Our membership matter. And it has purpose and it has meaning and it's accountability. And so with that being said, Richie, I want to come. Donna, you want to come? And we will go. We will do this.
First of all, church, I got to tell you, it is a privilege and an honor to get to ask your pastor if he wants to join the church. Right off the bat, I got to start with that. But Larry and Donna, I want to go through our questions, the things that we ask all candidates for membership to agree on in front of the whole church. So Larry and Donna, have you read and agreed with our church constitution and bylaws?
We do.
We do.
Larry and Donna, do you agree to attend the church regularly?
We do. I do.
Okay, yes.
Larry and Donna, do you agree to support the church regularly through financial support, your tithe?
Yes.
Yes.
Larry and Donna, do you agree to find a place of service in this church over a reasonable amount of time?
I'm going to try. Yes. I don't mean to make light of this.
You need to figure something out.
Yeah. I don't mean to make light of this. It's serious.
Amen. Larry and Donna, do you agree to submit to the pastoral leadership of the church?
Yes.
Yes.
Larry and Donna, do you agree to allow the members of this church to hold you accountable in love according to God's holy word?
Yes.
Larry and Donna, do you agree to love the church and to promote unity and fellowship among the members?
Yes.
And Larry and Donna, have you read and do you agree with the Baptist faith and message?
Yes.
Yes.
Church, we have to agree to these questions for these new members.
Now I'm getting nervous.
This is where it's going to get a little tough. We're going to have to make some decisions here. But church, do you agree to recognize Larry and Donna as members of Open Door? All in favor, please stand. Church, do you agree to love Larry and Donna as members of this church and to make them feel welcome and accepted as members of this family?
Amen. Yes.
Thank you. Church, do you agree to hold Larry and Donna accountable in love to God's holy word? Please say, I do.
I do.
Church, do you agree to be accountable to Larry and Donna as members of this church family? Please say, I do. Larry and Donna, welcome to the family of Open Door Baptist Church.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that many might think that's silly, and I know I was kind of making some jokes, and this is very serious matter of what we just did. So we chose today. We could have done it, actually, we were reminded that about this a few weeks ago. We could have done it the first Sunday, but we chose this Sunday because it was the Sunday of love, and we love you more than anything. We really do. Thank you. All right. It's fact. That's the title of today's sermon. It's all about love, Valentine's Day. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 13, and also to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. John chapter 13, verse 34, John 13, 34, and 1 John chapter 4, and beginning with verse 7. Well, today is Valentine's Day, and if any of you have been in any store at all over the last month, you have seen all the heart decorations, the aisles full of chocolates, flowers, the heart-shaped boxes full of candy, and the Valentine's Day cards, and people across this country will spend a lot of money. In fact, there was something on the news yesterday, I think it was, that there how many billions of dollars will be spent over this Valentine's Day time. Why? To prove our love to our sweethearts, right? With chocolates, flowers, jewelry, cards, and whatever else we can think of, right? Because let's face it, we all want to be loved, amen? We all want to be loved. In fact, I think that we could all say that we have a need to be loved. We all have a need to be loved. Actually, we were designed to be loved, amen? And we can go even deeper and say that we want unconditional love, that kind of love that is not based on who I am, but a love that is based on because I am. Right? Let me say that again. It's a kind of love that is not based on who I am, but a love that is based on because I am. A love that never turns its back when you need it most. A love that's forgiving. A love that's forgiving in your times of weakness and failure. A love that will endure forever and never give up on you no matter what. Now, how many of you want to be loved like that? That kind of unconditional love. How many of you want that kind of love? I do, right? We all would, right? So, but this morning, I would like to take it a step further. And I'd like to ask you this. How many of you would like to be able to love like this? How many of you would like to be able to love like this? Yes, we want to be loved like this unconditionally, but how many of us want to love others unconditionally? Now, I think that it's safe to say that sitting back and receiving this kind of love is a whole lot easier, right? Receiving this love is a whole lot easier than going forward and giving this kind of love, amen? It's easier to receive than to give. Well, I have good news for all of you believers here today. That good news is this, that God has equipped us to give love and not just receive love. Now, do you know that most people have some kind of birthmark that is specific to just them? Whether it be a mole or some kind of other birthmark. In fact, even identical twins who share the same DNA generally have different birthmarks. In fact, parents of identical twins say that they can tell the difference between their twins by a mole or some sort of other birthmark. We used to have a set of twins in this church that I couldn't tell apart years ago. I couldn't tell apart. So I had to do exactly this. I had to identify a birthmark on one of them, something that somebody, one of them had. One of them had a little mole right here that the other one didn't have. And that's how I could tell the difference. So most people have some sort of birthmark that is specific, that is unique to just them. Now, many advertisers have their own specific trademark or logo or brand or whatever you want to call it today, so that even if you don't read the name or see the name, the logo makes it clear, like who the product belongs to. Like when I say the name Nike, what do you think of? The shoe, right? But what's on the shoe? That little swish, right? How about AT&T? You don't have to see the name AT&T. All you have to do is see that logo, right? That round logo with the little bars in it, right? Or how about this one? McDonald's. What's that sign? The M, that big golden arch, right? Even the youngest children can see those golden arches a mile away. They don't need to read the name. Yeah, I see Mom shaking her head. Yeah, right? They don't even have to see the name. All they got to do is see those golden arches, and they know that that's where you can get a Happy Meal, right? And you can get a toy. So birthmarks, trademarks, brands, logos all possess elements of unique identification that sets either people, places, or things apart. Well, this morning I would like to talk to you about the mark that God has established. We talk about mark, and not the mark that we talked about over the last few weeks is not the mark of the beast, but there's a mark that God has established, a very unique mark, a very specific mark, a very clear mark that God has established in his children, a mark that sets us apart, and a mark that the Bible says is our identifier. As believers, it's our identifier. So turn with me your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34. This is where you'll find that Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So Jesus says here, that is blessing to the reading, Jesus said that the mark that sets us apart as believers, as followers of Christ, as his disciples, the mark that sets us apart as his children is love. It's love. Notice in verse 35 here, it says, by this mark, all will know that you are my disciples if you love or if you have love for one another. So we can see here, in this text, we can see here that God has established a mark, a very clear mark, by which his children, who have been birthed by his Spirit, ought to be known, right? Ought to be known that it is by his love that we are known. We have been birthed by his Spirit, and it ought to be known through our love. Love is the logo of God's Spirit. I want you to get that. Love is the logo of God's Spirit. And people ought to be able to see it from a mile away. They should be able to see it in you a mile away in his chosen people. And without that birthmark of love, quite truthfully, other people really aren't going to know who you are. Not who you truly are. So today, if you haven't already figured it out, I want to look at the topic of love. A love that I would like to call true love. And one of the best definitions of true love can be found in the book of 1 John. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. So read there with me in verse 7. I love the sound of those pages turning. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You should underline that. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So here you see the main concept. The main concept that I want to point out in our text today is in verse 7 is that the only source of true love is of God. And knowing love, receiving love, and loving others comes from one source and one source only, and that is God. Because I want you to notice what the text says there in verse 7. It says, for love is of God. Now, according to this text, we must understand this, that without God, love does not exist. That's really what this is saying to us here today. That without God, love does not exist. That therefore, love exists because God exists. If God didn't exist, love wouldn't exist. Because God exists, love does exist. All that God is exists in love. Therefore, all that we see, all that we feel, all that we touch, everything that we experience in creation is an expression of God's love, including you and me. Therefore, if a person loves God, he or she becomes a loving person. Let me say that again. If a person loves God, he or she becomes a loving person, and that becomes your birthmark. That's the birthmark given to us when we are born again upon our salvation through Jesus Christ. That is a birthmark that is placed in us. I almost used the word on us in this, but I went back and rephrased it. It's the birthmark that is placed in us. And you say, well, how? How does that happen? Well, a person who knows and loves God takes on the very nature of God. That's what we should do as Christians. We are followers. We are disciples. So a person who knows and loves God begins to take on the very nature of God. Because why? Because God puts his nature in us. It's his mark. It's his Spirit is his mark. His Spirit that he puts in us, who is the person of Jesus Christ, right? He puts it in us who love him, who follow him. Therefore, because of that, a person who knows God will do what God does. And what does God do? He loves others. He loves. It's kind of like this. When a woman is pregnant, over a time it's going to show, right? You can hide it for a little bit, but you can't hide it forever. But listen, when a woman is pregnant, over a time it's going to show. But early on, it may not be clear from the outside. However, inside, changes are occurring. Now, there are hormonal changes which affect how the mom feels. And some of you around moms know that it changes how she acts, right? There's a change, right, that goes on. It's hormonal. It's on the inside. So there are some internal changes going on, and there's internal changes that are taking place. Her body is changing, right? But here's the thing. These changes on the inside, after a while, are going to show on the outside of her too. You see what I'm saying there? Likewise, when we truly know God, when we have a deep, genuine relationship with God, we talked about that Wednesday night if you was online with us Wednesday night. When we have a true, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, then what has taken place on the inside in our heart, in our spirit, in our mind, right? The true love that has taken place on the inside will no doubt, it has no choice, it has no doubt but to show up on the outside. So today, with all the love that's in the air during this Valentine's Day week, I would like to point out what God's Word reveals about true love. So here's the first. The first truth about love is this. True love knows God. True love knows God. Look at verse 8 says. Verse 8 says that he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Well, listen to me, my friends and my fellow Christians. We can only know God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only way that we can know what our true love is. We can only know God through a relationship with him. Therefore, if we don't know Jesus, then we don't know God. Let me say that again as well. If we don't know Jesus, we're not in relationship with Jesus, then we can't know God. And if we don't know God, we can't know love. Not true love. Not the kind of love that keeps on loving regardless of the situation and the circumstances. So love, my friends, is the indicator, is the birthmark, is the unique identifier of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And our love, now watch, and our love reveals that his spirit lives in us. It's our love for one another reveals whether his spirit lives in you. And our love reveals that we truly know God. It's the identifying marker that we know God. I don't know what else I can expound on that. If he's in here, then love is in here. Because God is love, all right? Okay, let's move on. So here's the second thing about the truth about love is this. That true love shows God. It doesn't only just know God, but true love shows God. Notice something there in verse 9. Look what verse 9 says. Verse 9 tells us that in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, someone asks you, how do you know that God is love? How do you know that God is love? Now, I mean, after all, the world is full of so much evil and so much bad. How can we be sure that God is love? We look out today, we say, how can God be love? Look at this. Well, as a born-again believer, this almost seems like a no-brainer to me. How can we really be sure that God loves us? Well, the answer is pretty clear in the text. He showed us, meaning his love was demonstrated, or it was put into action to show us love. Verse 9, the love of God was manifested. That means shown, displayed, exhibited, put on display, revealed to us, right? The love of God was shown to us when he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. A truth, by the way, then that text right there, a truth, by the way, that is echoed, that is repeated throughout Scripture over and over from beginning to end. The theme of Scripture is the same from Genesis to Revelation. The theme of Scripture is the same. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, the word is full of, this world is full of evil. This world is full of bad. And men commit all kinds of evil. And in addition to these things that they do, they go out, they curse God. The people ignore God. People neglect God. People disobey God. Men reject God, rebel against God. They deny God. They oppose God. Everything, every day, they go out and they do these things against God, including and especially our day. Look at our time. Look what men are doing. Think of the world we live in. But you know what? It's not new. That's not new. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Paul describes the condition of the world then. And I when I was doing this, I thought, oh my God. Literally, oh my God. When I looked at this and I thought, oh. I'm thinking, Paul, you don't know, but Paul did know. Look how Paul describes the condition of the world. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Wait a minute, he's not done. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice, now watch, underline that word right there, those who practice such things are deserving of death. And that word death there means eternal separation from God. They are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. We read this and God tells us, but yet knowing all of this, knowing that men would turn into God haters, knowing all of this, even knowing this, God so loved the world. God so loved you. Understand, God knew what the world would turn into. This didn't catch him off guard. God's not caught off guard. God isn't like, oh no, what am I going to do? No. Don't even begin to think that, right? Understand, God knew exactly what the world would turn into before he ever even created it. He knew, but yet he chose to love. Why? Because his character is love. God is love, literally. A love that is so great that we barely can comprehend it. We can't even begin to describe the true love of God. It's described as agape love, right? No matter. No matter how messed up we are, God is willing to love us. He's willing to. But there comes a part that we need to allow him to. Isn't that love of God glorious? I want you to think about all these things. And I was this person that I just read to you in that text. But his love is so glorious. And I honestly believe that we really have only gotten to see the glimpse of that love. I really do. I can't even begin to fully comprehend it, but one day I will be fully in it. You understand? That's how great and glorious it is. It is beyond our comprehension. So therefore, I'm not sure that we can fully understand. I don't know how I can accurately describe it. I can't describe the true magnitude of his love. And I'm not sure, even if I thought I could attempt it, I don't think our little minds and our hearts can handle it. I don't think we could. I honestly believe that if God showed it all to us, the true depth of his love shown toward us, our hearts would probably explode or we would just fall dead in sorrow. But God does give us a glimpse of that love. He lets us see it through the pages of His Word. He lets us see it through the example of His Son, Jesus Christ. But He also lets us see it through modern day examples as well. Did you know that? God exhibits His love in modern day through modern day examples. You say, well, Pastor, how would God's love be displayed today? Like when you forgive somebody who has hurt you. The same thing that He did for you. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. So the modern day example is when we forgive someone who has hurt us. Or how about like this, like when we love someone by meeting their needs. God has given you somebody in your heart to meet a need, and you go and meet that need. That's showing the love of God. So listen, those are a couple ways. So first, we can only experience true love by knowing God, right? We can only experience love by knowing God. Second, we can see God's love by what He did for us and by what He did for others in His name, right? He showed it to us, right? He manifested it in how we are to show love to others. The example of how God showed love towards you is how we're supposed to show love towards others. And you say, well, that person doesn't deserve it. Well, neither did I, neither did you. Amen. We didn't. That's how God revealed His love, even to this day when He called you to salvation and me to salvation. And look, and finally we know all of this about love. We have an obligation to do. Because we know all this about love, we have an obligation to do something with what we know. You say, okay, great, I know God. Yeah, so that His love is in me, and I am to show that love, okay? Well, all right, if you know these things, then you know that you have to do something with it. It's not just for you to hoard. It's you to do something with it. And that leads me to point number three. The third truth about God's love is this. True love sows God. S-W-O-S. Sows God. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, before I continue on, it is important that I point out that the word ought in this verse is not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. And I say that because sometimes when we use the word ought, you ought to do this or you ought to do that, a suggestion is implied, right? That's how we understand. It's a suggestion. A suggestion is applied. But in the original language, in original text, this word is anything but a suggestion. In fact, it is the word ophilo. I hope I did that right. Ophilo, which means this, to be under obligation. Now think about that. Because of the love that God put in us, it's our identifier mark, right? And that because He showed us, He tells us that we're to exhibit that love, right? He comes and He says, he uses that word ought there, it means this, He says that you ought to, it means that you are under obligation to. That's what the true understanding of that text would mean, which means to be under obligation, to make a payment as the result of having previously received something of value. It means to owe or to be in debt. I owe something because of this. I received this, and because I've received this, now I owe something because of it. It means because God so loved us that we are under obligation to love one another so that others can come to know God and get their debt paid as well. Do you see it? It's a really cool thing. God give you something so that you can give others to get what you got. Therefore, because we owe God, right? We need to sow God. Now, in the Bible, when the word sow is used, it generally is an agricultural term referring to the planting of a seed. Now, let me ask you, what better way is there to plant the seed of the gospel than by showing the love of God to someone who does not know the love of God? Amen. Think about that. Because trust me when I tell you, when we are showing the love that we should to one another, people will see that we are born of God. They will see that. People will see the birthmark because, what you say, by this all will know you are my disciples if you love one another. This means this: people will know we belong to Him because they see us doing the things that God does. We are imitators. We are imitators of God. They see us doing the things that God does, and that is loving one another. And listen, people will desire that kind of love. Why? Because people want to be loved. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care how mean you are. I don't care how soft you are. You want to be loved. People desire to be loved. And you may not believe that, but like I said earlier, people desire that. People seek unconditional love. People, let me say people long for unconditional love. Anybody in here don't? People long for it. You know when I want unconditional love? When I mess up in front of my wife. When I let my wife down, I want that unconditional God. But there's something greater than that. When I mess up before my God, I want that unconditional love. When I'm standing down there because I know where my mind's been this week, I know what I've been through this week, and I'm standing down there before I come up here saying, God, please forgive me of my sin. I want unconditional love. Now, it is important that I point out that in this text, John is specifically referring to loving fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in such a way that the world will see it and notice it and desire it. Do you know where the church has the hardest part of loving one another is? In here. That's why he's writing this, by the way. That the world can see that how we treat and how we love one another, right? And let's face it, to love each other isn't always that hard. I mean, I want you to think about that for a second. Loving one another isn't that hard. Like, you all know how easy it is for all of you to love me. Amen, right? And you all know how easy it is for me to love some of you, right? But we're commanded to love one another as Christ loved each and every one of us. But you know what? That's too easy. We should have this down, even though we don't all the time. We should have this part down with one another in here. But you know what? Jesus comes along and he kicks the loving others, that command, he kicks it up a notch. Look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, when Jesus said, not only are you to love one another, church, but in verse 44 of Matthew chapter 5 says this, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Same word, love. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Hoss, I got so convicted doing this over our conversation of a mutual acquaintance that we have. You understand? I got stepped on hard. I got stepped on hard, brother. I'm just like you guys, man. I fail. And I don't like it when I fail. I can't stand it. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So understand what Jesus commanded here was not only are we to love each other, and not only are we to sow love among one another, all right, that's good, but we are commanded to dig down deep and plant our seeds, our sowing, right, to plant our seeds even deeper than that by loving our enemies. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, are you kidding me? No, you're not asking me that. You're asking the Lord that. Are you kidding me? And I'm looking at you and I'm saying, I know. It's difficult for me too. I just admitted that. It's difficult for me too. But watch. Not only our enemies, watch. Not only go deeper, but also those who hate us. I don't know that all of my enemies hate me, but there are those who hate us. And then on top of loving them, look, we are to pray for them. And you're thinking, seriously? Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you what, if you come unto salvation, somebody prayed for you. Well, Paul said over in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, that we should bless those who persecute us, to bless and not curse. Do you see it? Likewise, there are people, right, all around us. And listen, this is powerful. I want you to grab a hold of this. Those who hate you, those who persecute you, your enemies. What a concept to pray for and ask God to bless those who we just don't want to. I don't like them, right? They don't like me, I don't like them. I'm going to like them, I'm not going to like them worse back, right? Right? And I don't like them just because they're unloving or unkind people. Now, I have to tell you, that certainly is not and will not be easy to do, is to pray for these people. In fact, in Psalm 126, verse 5, we are told that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. You see what happens first? Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, in agricultural terms, after land has been neglected for so long, a ground becomes almost impossible to work. The planting is difficult. The ground is hard. The ground becomes calloused. And sowing can be an agonizing work. Some of you with farming know what I'm talking about. Well, likewise, there are people all around us who feel neglected. They feel neglected. They feel neglected by other people. They feel neglected by God, and they have become hard. And planting the gospel becomes very difficult. Therefore, many sow in tears. And I'm sure that many of you here have spent countless hours on your knees in tears, agonizing over the work of trying to love that difficult person in your life. You say, what are you getting to? There are people in our life that we agonize over because it's hard for us to love them. Yeah. It could be a friend of a friend. It could be your boss. It could be your neighbor. It could be your spouse. Maybe it's your mom or dad. It's hard. Or maybe you're agonizing over the lost person that you know who is rejecting you because you were a Christian. Or maybe agonizing over someone who has hurt you, who has wronged you, or has mocked or bullying you. In the work of love, the work of love for you can be hard. And God knows. God knows it, and God knows there are some people who make it hard to love them, right? Some people just make it hard. But listen, there's hope. There's hope. Here's the hope part. Here comes the hope part. You say, where's the hope? Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's a promise. This is a promise. Although the work may be agonizing and difficult and frustrating, what this is saying, persistence will bring a harvest and persistence will reap joy. Now remember, sowing involves prayer. It has to. It's how we till the soil, right? Sowing involves prayer. So can you imagine the impact of using Scripture, using God's Word as a means of prayer for the people that you just have a hard time loving on your own? The only way that you can love them has to be in Christ and through Christ that's in you, right? Because in yourself you don't want to do it, but the Christ in you tells you that we are commanded to do that. So we just have a hard time loving on our own. So why not call up on God? Amen. We're not alone. We're not orphaned, right? Listen, what if we were to use the words of Jesus in the form of a prayer? What a novel idea, right? To pray, because if I pray on my own, out of my own effort, I'll probably not pray a very good prayer, right? Because I don't like the person. But if I pray using God's word for that person, is a whole nother concept, isn't it? How about this? God's word in the form of a prayer. Dear Lord, help me to love my neighbor. Why? Because Jesus says what? Love your neighbor, right? Dear Lord, help me love my neighbor. Now put their name in there. Who, I don't know what your bad neighbor is, right? Lord, help me to love my neighbor John Doe, who cusses at my kids. And help me to love that person, Lord, who I want to hate, because your word tells me not to hate them. Help me, Lord, to love that person who I want to hate, and then put their name in there. Help me to love Jane Doe, who mistreated me as a child. And Lord, help me to love that person who is constantly attacking me, who is constantly abusing me, and then you put their name in there. It would go like this. Lord, help me to love Jillian Doe. I had to stay with a J, all right? Help me to love Jillian Doe, who is always insulting me at work, who's always putting me down at work. Help me to love John Doe, Lord, who talks about me behind my back. And I know he does, because every time I walk in a room, he just shuts up immediately. So I know he's talking about me. Lord, help me to love John Doe, who talks about me behind my back. Now, can you imagine the impact of that? And don't stop there. Follow that up by this. Follow that up by doing this and say, God, I ask that you bless that person today. But listen to me carefully. Because that kind of love that sows God, in spite of our feelings, watch, I told you I'm going to give you some hope. That kind of love that sows God in spite of our feelings shows that we know God. It's our birthmark. Now that's good stuff, isn't it? But we must remember and never forget. When you're praying for that person, that difficult person, I want you to remember and never forget, we didn't make it easy on him to love us. For God so loved us, he had to come to us, right? To demonstrate his love toward us, to show us, to prove it. And so must we with others. That's what this word says. And so must we with others. So this morning I have to ask, do you know God? I'm not talking about know about him. Do you know him? I'm talking about that relationship part that I touched on earlier. Do you know him? Because if you don't, listen, if you don't know God, you will never be able to experience the kind of love that never turns its back on you when you need it most.
Amen.
At your lowest place, you can turn to God in this love, and he will be there. The kind of love that is forgiving when you don't deserve it. The kind of love that is forgiving in your times of weakness and failure, and the kind of love that will endure forever and never, never give up on you. No matter what, he will not give up on you. That's true love, folks. That's the love we want. That's the love we desire. And so is it with those around you. So on this Valentine's Day Sunday, I want to invite you to experience this kind of love. The love of Jesus in you. So listen, when the music begins here in just a second, when the music begins, I invite you to step out. And I invite you to step into true love with our Savior. Because you can't even begin to love like this unless you know the love like this, right? You need to step into true love with our Savior. When the music begins, you come down and see me, and I'll tell you all about this miraculous love. A love that is truly life-changing. Anybody who has this love and their life has been changed by this love, just say amen.
Amen.
Right? Okay, I don't want to make sure that it's just not me, that I'm just up here like dumb, you know. Listen, true love can only be found in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. God is love. This love has to be planted in you by God Himself. Do you want this love? Do you say, I'm looking at you today and say, do you want this love that I'm talking about? This love that will never give up? Then I invite you to come. Praise man, you can come. And you can come. And Christians, I want to talk to you for just a second. Christians, you know this love. Because God has shown it to you already through His Son. But Christian, maybe you haven't been showing it the way that you should to everyone. Like I just pointed out that I wasn't. Maybe you not showed it to everyone like you should. Especially to those who are unloving towards you. Then I invite you to come, Christian, and begin by praying some scripture for them. Because you know scripture. Also come and pray for your one. You all wrote down names. Come and pray for your one. Or get a name out of this basket up here. Pray for that person. Put their name in there. Dear Lord, help me to love so-and-so. You fill in the blank. Because God, you love so-and-so that you gave your only one begotten son for this person. Would you help me to sow the gospel to this person? And Lord, if it's not me, Lord, would you send another one of your servants to sow this gospel? You come pray this morning and ask God to help you to love. Isn't that crazy? For me to encourage Christians to ask God to help them to love somebody? True love begins in Jesus Christ. This Valentine's Day, let's prove our love to God. You okay? Let's take up this commandment that He gave us. Let's prove our love to God by showing our love to others. Listen, this Valentine's Day, this love tree thing, I don't want that to stop. Continue on. Figure out somebody else. Love on them. It says here first, and then beyond. But listen, we need to show our love. Let's not let up on this. Let's show love to our neighbors. Let's show love to people at work. When's the last time you did something kind for somebody at your work? For no reason. Just kind. And the person that doesn't like you. Boy, John, you'd go broke. Brother Dan here today? No, just kidding. You need to buy Brother Dan a gift. You, Kevin Habit. Brother Dan pulls trucks over. He's a DOT guy. Kevin's a truck driver. Show some love. It's easy for me to show love to my wife today and my kids today. But show some love to somebody that maybe you just don't care for. Not that they don't care for you. You don't care for them. Show them some love. Send Biden I love you card. You're laughing at me, but is that not what the word says? Is it not what the word says? That's what I'm talking about. Why? Because that's who we are. That's who we are. But first, what's the formula? You must know God. To show God, to sow God. You must know God, to show God, to sow God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you for loving us. Father, thank you for demonstrating your love for us in that you sent your only begotten Son to die for our sins. The very thing that separates us from you. You sent your Son to pay the debt that I could not pay. because you loved me. Lord, I can't even begin to comprehend. And Lord Jesus, that you followed through willingly and went to the cross. But you didn't stay dead. You arose. And you said that you were going to come back and get me. Or that when I die, I will be where you are. So, Lord, what greater love is there than that? To be in the presence of the one who is love. But, Father, there are many around us who don't know you. They don't know your love. Father, help us to sow it with a heart that wants to sow with a kind of love that you give us first. And even to those who don't love us or like us, or even to those that we don't like, that we can give that same love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You come. You need to know love. You need to come to Jesus. I just want you to continue to pray for my mom. We don't have any answers yet. We know that on the way over she was having difficulty breathing, and she has a pretty big lump on her arm and her rib, so we don't know anything yet. So we just ask that you continue to lift her up in prayer, if you would please. And listen, happy Valentine's Day. I love you all. Or some of you. No, I love you all. I love you all, and there's a greater love than I can ever give you, and that is from our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're missing out on that, you're missing out on the greatest blessing that is available to you. Amen? So listen, if you don't know him today, don't walk out of this building. Come talk to me, and we'll sit down and we'll talk. I'll spend all day here for that, all right? So listen, you go in peace, go in love. But go sharing the love in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ralph?
Strawberries downstairs.
Strawberries downstairs. Don't forget your strawberries.
You are strong. You are.